Our conversation with the coach brought to you by Star Markets, just for you digital app. No matter how bad the echo is, earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Everyone likes to talk about the final possession of a game, ignoring the 200 that came before it. And 9 times out of 10, maybe more, that final possession has little to do with what has actually transpired before that. But I think we are all in agreement that that last possession, at least in terms of the basketball gods, did have a lot to do with the way that game transpired.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one stat from the other night was we gave up 93 points in the last 30 minutes. 24 of those in transition and 38 of them on actions where we thought we could have guarded a lot better. So they did get hot. They still had to make the shots. A lot of nights you get away with that and you sleep fine because you win by 14. But they made 5 more threes than they normally would, and that's what happens when you don't take care of every detail and give people a chance. And then Rondo made a big shot.
It was almost as if they weren't knocking down shots early. It wasn't like your defense suddenly declined.
That's right.
Right? It was more of a...
including free throws.
Right.
I thought they missed some shots at the rim. I thought that we were just not very good defensively. It's a little bit disturbing because we gave up 129 to OKC, 129 to LA. Last year here, the game before the All-Star break, we gave up 129 to the Clippers in what I thought was our worst defensive game in the last few years. So we need to play 4 better quarters than we have.
Max and I take heat, and I'm fine with it, for the way we talk about LeBron and the things that he does, which, you know, the highlights you're going to see on SportsCenter are all spectacular. But one of the things that never gets discussed is his IQ is so ridiculous off the charts. It's almost as he instinctively knows who needs to get going during a game, and he just sometimes has the game in the palm of his hand, even when you don't think he does.
No, he picked us apart with his passing the other day, and post-ISOs, he got Caldwell Pope going, he got Kuzma going. Those two got hot enough by themselves to keep him in the game, and then when everybody else started making shots, it was a problem.
There are times we've discussed, usually once or twice a year, the idea of advanced scouting when you haven't seen a team for the first time. All the work that goes into it, people who travel around to watch teams, reports that are filed, video that's watched, that you watch, that entire staff watches. And then Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban, Gortat, Mike Scott, literally 40% of the minutes they have played this year. How much work goes into a game like this that is useless? And then how much time can you afford to sort of play a guessing game in a game like this?
Well, I think there's an NBA library of actions that we have all taken because they work.
They work.
There's a reason why everybody runs certain things, right? And, you know, these guys don't run a ton of stuff. It's probably different than Doc's teams here when they were probably running a lot more sets. And they play more in the free-flowing game and more in kind of a read and react game. And so they play out of certain few actions that all of those guys are probably used to playing in. And probably, like, Garrett Temple probably knows all the calls of all of them, you know, when he shows up. So I think that it'll be an easy transition for them. I actually think, you know, everybody's talking about how much they traded out, and they've traded some very good players. They got some very good players.
Yeah.
Like, Zubac is good. Garrett Temple's good. Jermichael Green is good. Shamet is going to be a really good player, you know, down the line. So I thought they had a really productive trade deadline.
There was that Cavs game last year, too. It happened after the deadline with all the new players. Sometimes a new team can just
No, it would have been nice to play the Lakers on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's funny how it works.
Yeah, that's right.
Lou Williams has been great for them, but it's funny. I watched Montrezl Harrell a lot in college because I had a couple of Louisville games when he was playing with Terry, which is where I first saw Terry play. And I remember watching him in college thinking, well, I'm not sure what kind of a pro he's going to be, not really knowing how the league was going to evolve. And it seems like his improvement with the way the league has changed, and suddenly Montrezl Harrell is almost indispensable to them.
So he's the perfect example of a guy that people probably watched and said, well, he's not really a five. And then the more you look at it, you say, well, why isn't he a five?
Right.
He's just as fast to the rim. He plays just as high above it. He plays with a huge motor. If he's a little bit smaller, who cares? And I think that that's where the league has changed in the past few years. And he's one of many guys that play roles at the five that are a little bit smaller. You know, Dwight Powell, I thought, was one of the trendsetters in that when he was playing as a backup in Dallas. But Harrell's taken it to a different level, and he's playing great. I mean, he is having a terrific year.
That's the head coach. You know, I don't often try to jump into really controversial, heavy stuff if there's a way to avoid it, but sometimes you don't really have a choice. There was a story today. We're sitting here. You got the Virginia game on. There's a story about Tony Bennett, the coach at Virginia. He is claiming, and he claimed in a story today, that after a visit a couple of weeks ago to the practice facility, that he now ranks ahead of you on the ping pong ladder. And, I mean, I don't know if there's a sore subject or not. I'm just going to jump into it and ask if it's true.
Well, Pags, Kyrie, and Tatum would say this is the Duke game, but whatever, right? So, you know, Tony's a good friend of mine. Tony actually flew out here in July, and we sat down for a day. And, you know, I can't think of a guy that could have handled what he handled better last year in that UMBC loss. And for them to have the comeback and play the way they are is just a great testament to him. But they got stuck here with a plane malfunction after they played Boston College, and they practiced at our place the next day, and he saw our ping pong rankings, and I don't know what happened, but somehow his name is right above my name, and that may be like
there was no head to head.
That may be everybody's wish list of coaching. Maybe. I mean, this guy's like special, but I texted him and I was like, don't we have to play before you can be ahead of me? But you know, Tony's such a good guy and such a good coach that, yeah, he's probably better than
I am. You're college coaches, you have all that RPI and who gets what seed and whatever, and it never comes down to head-to-head a lot of times. So.
Yeah, that's right. I will say this. I couldn't be more of a fan of his.
Celtics and Clippers next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.